This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Very aggressive again.
Yeah.
So aggressive. This is not 10 a.m. music. We're on 7 a.m. West Coast.
Wake up.
Good God. Feel it in your chest. Guillermo has a useless sound montage to get to. How do you feel about it, Guillermo? How do you feel about your useless sound montage today?
Oh, Dan, only 11 more weeks or so. 10 more weeks? I don't even know. We're almost done with this season.
We're not, though.
All right, we're not even halfway there, but okay. It is useless sound. Greg Cody has a new Back in My Day, and one of the great delights of Tuesdays with Greg Cody is that he comes into the studio or his home studio, an office that hasn't been changed since the 1980s, and he wants to talk about the thing that has already been chewed to death on Monday morning. He wants to talk about DK Metcalf. Like, we've moved on to other things. We're contractually obligated to talk about the Chicago Bears and the Los Angeles Rams.
I'll never move on from DK Metcalf. I got to be honest. If Greg wants to talk about it, I'm here for
it. Well, lest you think that you are merely getting reheated, recycled leftovers from Greg Cody on the Tua conversation that you found in the local hour and on the Greg Cody show featuring Greg Cody, lest you think that that's reheated and stale, now Greg Cody wants to do what would be a Monday show on Tuesday. So go ahead, Greg, have at it. What are all your thoughts on DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker?
Well, I'm only in here on Tuesday, so this is my orbit, okay? Nothing happens until I say it happens, as far as I'm concerned. And what he did, DK Metcalf, because Buda Baker's a fast guy. What DK Metcalf did running the length of the field to save that touchdown, I don't care what happened after that play. I don't care that the Cardinals came back and won the game. That was the player of the year to me. It showed such fight that I was truly inspired. And as long as I've covered sports, it takes a lot for me to look at a play in any sport and just go, wow. And my mouth is agape. And I was just so impressed by that play.
Why are you laughing at your father?
I go, well, you say you were inspired by it. Did you go outside and run afterwards? Like,
what's happening? He did nothing. He sat on the couch and turned the channel.
He didn't do anything. In fact, I don't believe him either, Chris, that he was inspired by that. What did you do? Go to the garage and get a beer? Like, what did you do with that inspiration?
I ran to get my next cup of coffee is what I did.
Instead of just
waddling through the house, I actually walked quickly through the house like a power walker.
You chased it down, huh?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I want to ask the question, greatest chase downs in sports history. You got LeBron James. Mike's got an odd nominee. You've got Leon Lett. And now you're putting DK Metcalf in that class. Here's what I find funny about the analysis of that play, and I can't deny being just as awed by it as the rest of you. You had, a giraffe chasing down a cheetah. Like, they looked physically funny. Buda Baker is 5'10", 190, he's listed at. And he was chased down by a giant man who made up 10 yards on him. The part that I find funny is Buda Baker was awesome Sunday. Buda Baker had a 90-yard play that under any other circumstances, an interception of Russell Wilson on the goal line, it's like a Bigfoot getting out of a spaceship in the end zone.
I believe Buda Baker has the most expensive and richest contract in the history of the position in that league, and he lived up to it on Sunday. However, he is now a punchline.
It's amazing. Like, he was great. Keep in mind, Buda Baker ran 100 meters, 10.75, 200 meters, 21.66.
Yeah.
Like, this is a track star.
Yeah, he's not DK Metcalf, though.
Understood, but he's not only a track star. He made a winning play, and you guys are always lamenting, ESPN ruining the kids with their highlight culture. Ruining the kids. All they show is dunks. Buda Baker made the winning play. He won the game. Buda Baker, his team won the game. All we're going to be talking about is DK Metcalf on a loser of a team that night.
And if you think that's a tired topic on a Tuesday morning because it happened on Sunday night, I would like to turn your attention to the 2005 NFL divisional round, where Bill Belichick's Patriots, led by Tom Brady, visited Jake Plummer's Denver Broncos. Do you remember this game? No? Why would you? You should, though, because that game had the greatest chase down in NFL history. More improbable than Buda Baker and DK Metcalf, Dan, because one, Champ Bailey intercepted a ball in the end zone and had a straight line route.
Nobody catches it.
To the opposing end zone. Now, Champ Bailey, for those people my age, was a 99 in acceleration and speed in Madden. Like, he was the fastest player in
was
the
it,
league.
Was it Champ Bailey 4-2? Wasn't his combine time 4-2s?
When you would ask the question, who's the fastest player in the NFL, the answer at that time was Champ Bailey. He got chased down by a tight end that was traveling from the opposing hash mark. Ben Watson.
Oh, that's when it began.
Oh, I remember that.
That right there is where it began. The mutant tight end that could do anything. It was Belichick who created it.
Champ ran a 4.28 in the 40.
Watson. Now, Champ naturally led up a little bit when he was in the opposing red zone because he beat the last line. Jim Nance says, and he beats the last man, Kevin Falk. And Ben Watson comes crashing into your picture, full stride, covering way more ground than Champ Bailey had to chase down. I've heard Bill Belichick asked about this by NFL Films, and in their facility, they famously have stills of contributions and important plays that contributed to wins. And he says, I don't have this photo up, but if there's ever one photo from a loss that I would hang up in this facility to sort of build this culture, it's that one.
So you guys tell me, Larry Fitzgerald in the Super Bowl with James Harrison didn't actually chase him down, but belongs in this discussion, does it not?
Like 100%.
Yeah, he didn't finish the play.
He didn't finish it.
Still remains one of the most incredible plays in Super Bowl history.
No, the most incredible. The most incredible was the end of the half. It was the end of the half. James Harrison goes 100. Wait a minute. James Harrison.
I don't know, man. In the very same game, what won the Super Bowl was one of the greatest catches of all time.
No. Santonio Holmes, this play... Can you imagine the play I'm talking about ending game? It ended a half. Now imagine it's the Santonio Holmes play. The play I'm talking about is Larry Fitzgerald chasing Harrison for 100 yards and getting there one half a yard too slow if he had gotten there. And I don't know how he didn't get there because James Harrison running 100 yards had to be wheezy. Had to be running out of gas.
I am watching it right now. I'm so excited. The play just started. There goes Harrison.
Larry Fitzgerald had that play. And prior to the Santonio Holmes catch, Larry Fitzgerald made a play that without the greatest catch, maybe arguably outside of David Tyree in a Super Bowl, would be remembered as, oh my God, what a great play from a wide receiver. That wins the Super Bowl for the Arizona Cardinals.
The field was just 105 yards instead of 100. Larry Fitzgerald, degree of difficulty, he was like 7 yards out of bounds. He was hurdling people. He had to go back inbounds, avoid people trying to block him. And then he almost got to Harrison. He got to him at the 2, but Harrison's momentum carried him in.
Cody, you have turned Buda Baker into a source of shame. Did you not both see how quickly both of those men ran past Russell Wilson, who is also purported to be fast? Russell Wilson gave up on the play. He gets excused for all shame, even though he's the one who caused the whole thing.
Right. Quarterback fast is not fast. I mean, Lamar Jackson's fast. Kyler Murray's fast. Those guys are not DK Metcalf fast. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole different ballgame.
Are we being unfair to Buda Baker?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Put it on the poll.
That's the player that – he's the player of the year if nobody catches him.
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Are we being terribly unfair to Buda Baker? Guillermo's useless sound is next.
Don Levitard.
Greg Cody, your thoughts?
Stugatz.
Greg?
Okay, very good.
Yeah, I'm here.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Guest on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Greg Cody, giving the Straight Talk, is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise.
So people are sending us a whole bunch of chase downs that are funny and amazing. Julio Jones has one you might not remember.
Oh my God.
That feels a little DK Metcalf-y. But Stugatz, and I'm curious because he has very little retention, useless sound montage coming in minutes. I am curious whether you remember your own tweet. Because early in this pandemic, I remember you tweeting something. And I remember saying to myself, I'm going to ask him about it 4 months later to see if he has any recall. And you tweeted out a play that you called the greatest play in football history. Do you remember from your own Twitter account what the details of that tweet are?
Man, 4 months ago?
Yes, you called it the greatest play in NFL history. One would assume that if it's that, you'd remember it, right?
Yeah, and I don't.
It was Larry Allen chasing someone down. It was the Dallas Cowboys offensive lineman, Larry Allen. Which is horrifying, right? The idea. Cody, you remember Larry Allen, right? Didn't he have like record bench press? Didn't he do 225 like 45 times at the combine or something? Ridiculous.
Yes.
Larry Allen is reported to be the strongest man in the history of the sport.
Right. He was maybe the original offensive lineman as a big, giant, athletic guy. He was the best in the game for a time.
He bench pressed 225 pounds 43 times.
All right, and that I understand, actually, Stugatz, believe it or not. I actually understand, just looking at Larry Allen, how he could have the kind of strength that your father had when you were a kid. What I can't understand, even looking at him, though I know that he looks physically impressive with his shirt off, I don't understand how Aaron Donald is stronger than all of these behemoths that he's playing against. All of them. It's not just speed across from them. When he goes into their chest, all of these 350-pound men go flying toward their quarterback.
Low man wins, Dan. He's got unprecedented strength for someone that size. It was why he wasn't the number one overall draft pick. The knock on him, if there was any, because he still got drafted pretty high despite his size, was that this guy's too small, which I always found weird because when I was doing, you know, spring football, I was always told low man wins. And when they put me up opposite of this guy, Cheeks, who was like 2 feet shorter than me, I'm like, come on, this is not fair.
Stugatz, I'm not kidding you when I say I can make an argument for Aaron Donald being the best defensive player ever. Because of where he does it from. Because of where he does it
100%.
It's not coming off the edges. There's so much traffic in there. You're constantly getting double teamed. You can make for as unblockable, okay, as Khalil Mack is, as unblockable as Myles Garrett is. You can make the argument that that dude is the best defensive player we've ever seen.
You could. I would argue Lawrence Taylor, maybe Reggie White, but you could certainly make that argument based on the position
I'm just doing it because Sapp is the only one I ever saw do it that way. Warren Sapp, that you could talk about 20 sacks from the middle of the field when no one can get those.
Steve Levy was making a big deal, and Brian Griese and Lewis Riddick on Monday Night Football last night, that Aaron Donald was very upset and called the team out and said they played soft last week. And Riddick made a great point where he said most players would roll their eyes, right? But when you consider the source being Aaron Donald, those guys did not, and they had the best week of practice they've had all year because Aaron Donald told them to do so.
I have some Chicago Bears fraud stats that we'll get to in a second. But
terrible.
Who are the stars of the useless sound montage, Billy? Who are we featuring today?
Dan, thanks for asking. So our friend Field Yates makes an appearance, and we also have, I believe, the first time he's ever appeared, hashtag Greeny is on this week.
Wow. All right, here it is. Wow. Let's go. Show me how Greenberg is useless.
Our whole team just got beat today by them. They're really good.
Maybe we're trying too hard, or maybe it's we're overcoaching.
I'm not going to use any excuses. We can't. You know, we're in a production-oriented business.
We're 1-6. Are what your record says you are.
Yeah, you know, they made some good adjustments. You know, I think we just got to adjust to their adjustments.
I didn't have the right answer at the right time.
We'd love to not be in those situations where our backs are against the wall. You know, we left a lot of plays out there.
We've been playing uphill every single game.
Play your best ball when your best ball is needed. Simple.
Football is a game that needs to be practiced. It's a game of team.
We're not doing the basics. Let's quit candy coating it.
I'm embarrassed. It's pathetic. The Cowboys stink, and there's no room for hope right now.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of time, but we said, hey, there's enough time. There's enough time. We got to just keep believing and just take it one play at a time.
Our guys kept fighting, kept believing.
Baker Mayfield kept believing, and I think at some point, that encourages your teammates to believe in you.
Thankfully, our guys didn't blink, man, and was able to hold it together and make enough plays to secure victory.
That's the great thing about football. When the whistle blows, you know, your instincts take over and you just go out there and play.
He can really throw it. He can spin it. He can run around. I mean, he's quick as a cat. He's just moving around like crazy.
He's a pro player.
We try to score every time we have that ball, man.
The ball's the most important thing.
and we can't be handed to the other team.
You got to take care of the football, and that's for everybody that touches the football on our team.
I have to be better, which I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to playing the next game. I wish we could play tomorrow.
It was the most important game to date because it was the next one.
We know what's coming up next week. We can throw the records and all the other stuff out the window.
A tall task with a guy like him, and particularly as we talked about from an attrition standpoint over the course of the game.
We don't turn away good players, and he's a good one.
We have good players. You can't have enough of them.
Well, that's good. Anytime you can get 300 yards and no turnovers, that's good.
When you have days like this, things just seem to part like the Red Sea.
It's hard to win them all, and we're going to keep trying.
Zeke is our bell cow, and we need to get it right.
Coaching, playing, offense, defense, special teams, running, passing, defending the run, defending the pass, ball security, tackling, blocking, none of it was good enough.
That's the softest thing you can do in sports. That's the opposite of tough. My father would have called you chicken something, okay?
Man, it's NFL football. We play to win. We don't live in our fears.
I'm saying it to your face if you're watching or listening, and I'm putting my name on it. You're a chicken.
He can't say that.
Oh, my God. You can't say that. Mike, listen, Greenberg, it's irresponsible. I'm surprised the company hasn't punished you. You can't say that. How has he not gotten in trouble? How is this not spinning headlines across the globe? You can't say that.
And I can't believe his dad would speak to him like
Unbelievable.
That.
Unbelievable.
And I'm putting my name on it. You're a chicken.
Oh, my God. We can't. Mike, you please stop playing that.
I'm putting my name on it. Mike, you're a chicken.
It's irresponsible. This network needs to be ashamed of this kind of language. In 2020,
you're a chicken.
John Gruden, I recognized him in five syllables. That's really tough to do, Billy. Like, that's how you sculpt these things. He's a pro player, and we all recognize Gruden's voice.
Why is Field taking the Cowboys season so personally? Like, is he part of the team?
Does anyone speak more like a football coach than Tomlin? Like, just in terms of extrapolating every thought into a sentence that is punctuated with, and we will own that, or we will take responsibility for that.
Tall task.
He's number one active NFL head coaches. Chuck Pagano, though, might be earning another shot soon, so fingers crossed.
Not Gruden, huh?
Not Gruden. Gruden is distinct, and he's got distinct personality, but I'm with you guys here. I think there are a couple of coaches ahead of him on our useless sound montage.
Time for Dan to reluctantly take part in something his two guys couldn't be happier doing.
The Colts really did have, for a while there, the Belichick-Brady combination of useless sound.
They
had Pagano and Andrew Luck. And this is the Andrew Luck Memorial Useless Sound Montage. And I do believe that we could consider naming it after Chuck Pagano.
You're a chicken.
Now I understand why Get Up works, man. This guy's riding right on the edge.
You're a chicken.
Like, he's third railing it to into the sky. ESPN needs to keep promoting him. Give him more shows.
You're a chicken.
Don Levitard.
Chris, what was happening there? Can you please just explain to me? Just give the audience a glimpse into what's happening inside your soul as your father is delivering clunker after clunker.
It's just not surprising. He was texting me last night trying to get lines for it to make it funnier, and I was just like, I don't know if this one works. You're not really bringing anything to the conversation. It's just classic Greg Cody.
Stugatz.
Actually, Christopher and I never had that conversation because I did reach out to him and got zero response.
That's not true. I can show you my text right now. I wasn't a fan of it.
All right, show me that text.
There are the Codys tag-teaming the show to kill it. The Codys as the crazy tag-team duo, the Show Killers.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30.
We will get to a Cam Newton conversation in a second, and Daniel Cormier is going to join us at 11 o'clock Eastern. Habib told him something interesting, Stugatz, that I had not heard, which is that when he was fighting Gaethje before the submission, he had the arm bar, and he remembered that Gaethje said he wasn't going to tap under any circumstances, and he didn't want to break his arm in front of his family members.
Right.
And so he just moved it to the triangle and finished him that way. Cormier, I'm curious whether Cormier has ever heard something like
that. Well, that's very nice of him.
It was very nice yes. of him. It's very, very gentle for a killer. We will get to that in a second. And as I said, Daniel Cormier is going to join us at 11:30 Eastern. Excuse me. So, Christine Lisi, please continue.
And finally, after years of condemning Borat for its depictions of Kazakhstan, the country has officially adopted the catchphrase, "very nice," as its official tourism slogan. How about that?
Oh, wow. They've embraced him. I would have thought that they would have objected to it, especially since nobody in Kazakhstan looks like Borat. Not a single person. He's just a foreign stereotype, an ambiguously, I don't even know, just foreigner is what he's trying to give off there. Mike Ryan has some Cam Newton opinions that I do want to get to in a second. But first, we continue our quest to find the perfect Tua call, the perfect Tua song to serenade the new Dolphins quarterback. The telephone number is 786-456-4837. Johnny, you're on ESPN Radio. Go ahead, Johnny.
I'm sorry, Fitzpatrick. Ooh, I am Tua. Never meant to make the start to cry, but he played for Saban. It's Tua time. I'm sorry, Fitzpatrick. Ooh, I am Tua. Never meant to make the start to cry, but he played for Saban. It's Tua time.
Wow, we are. Oh, a thumbs up from Chris
Cody. I liked it, yeah.
Tony gives a sideways thumb. Roy has his head and his face in his hands. Billy is yawning with profound indifference. And the singing sports writer in the center square. Oh thumbs down, wow. Says Greg Cody from on high. Get it out of here. 786-456-4837 is the telephone number.
Would you like to hear an offering from the Suey Award winner?
That's cough. One cough. Cough one time, Cody, if you want us to play that. It's a very happy song. It is. It's got a lot of production. Billy was shaking his head. I feel like he wants to rip a Suey winner, a fan who took a long time to make
it. A little
that
long.
Song.
Tighten it up a little bit.
A little too polished.
Two, three stanzas.
Yeah.
When Billy's telling
know,
you to when, tighten
when,
it up.
I know.
Come on.
It is,
I've got a show to do. We only got 2 hours.
It is the greatest insult when Billy has told you you are yammering.
Tighten up.
Chris, what's great about just this this terrible cornucopia of people that we put together on Tuesday is when you need something from Greg Cody that's a little bit more, you get a cough. When you need something that's a little less from a song, you get that. Too many lyrics. Why were you laughing, Chris, at your father? Is it because we had to turn off his microphone because he was coughing still 30 seconds into that song?
Yes, I was worried about him at first for a second, but he just this. He doesn't, he always screws it up. You wanted him to cough to tee up the song, and he turned his mic off for that, so we didn't get to hear that cough. He's just the worst.
I didn't turn his mic off. I was begging for a cough. Instead, I got a cough when I didn't want it.
He was trying. This is what happens, Stu. It's what legitimately happened, and it's the beauty of the timing of Cody. Greg Cody was coughing when we didn't want him to, and not coughing when we did.
The one time.
I can't win with you, people.
The one time who requested a cough. I mean,
we had to turn your microphone down because you were working so hard to muffle the cough, but you only did so successfully when you were off the air.
I can't cough on cue. I'm not a trained asthmatic.
Chuckiner!
Getting back to Cam Newton, Stugatz, because there's a certain number of ingredients here that are problematic for him. And one of those ingredients is he plays quarterback in Boston.
And he's replacing Tom Brady.
Oh, and Tom Brady's playing well.
Yeah.
I was curious to see when Scott Zolak would jump off the ship, and it was midway through the first quarter.
Jeff Garcia is now saying that Cam Newton needs to dress differently, which is just magical.
I mean, we've been hearing that take forever.
Well, but I mean, just across sports radio, like can I just put a blanket edict on this now for all sports radio America? I don't get to decide these things, but white guy telling black guy how to dress. Let's not do that one anymore. Can we just stop doing that one? Like, white guy says thing about how black guy dresses. Cam Newton actually went on the radio and said he's right. He's entitled to his opinion. He's a former player. He can say that I'm dressed ridiculously. And he actually said, but this is my culture. My culture is what he dropped in the middle of that. I don't think too many in his culture are also liking the way that Cam Newton dresses. He looks, like Russell Westbrook. He fancies himself a fashion icon with things that most of us would consider ridiculous.
Well, we know that Cam Newton is a fierce competitor, and he never really plans to lose. But we've done the shows where, like, maybe have a backup outfit in case.
Right, after a loss.
Well,
after the last three games. Yeah, in case you get benched and Stidham is playing the fourth
quarter. But the notion that what he wears to the stadium and home from the stadium, or the notion that if a guy wears a baseball hat backwards means he can't be a leader, let's just tell everyone, wear whatever the hell you want whenever the hell you want.
But can we stop talking about it? Can we stop making it a national issue across sports radio? Let's have that be racial progress in 2020. Let's just bury that one. Jeff Garcia... Don't do that.
I wish the Pats would have won that game so we could celebrate the outfit he was wearing. Did you guys see he's wearing a hat? Behind the hat, there was like a suitcase on the hat. It was an amazing outfit.
I think I need to see this because what I'm envisioning looks absurd.
Suitcase?
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, look it up.
Let's find out how much that hat costs. Does he have that hat made? Must, right?
Remember when Pharrell became a pop culture sensation because of his hat, and then we all searched the hat, and it was so expensive? I'm guaranteeing this is way more than we'd ever pay for any piece of clothing.
Not only that, though, Mike, if this is all made by a tailor, I say this honestly, is that tailor getting business off of what Cam is wearing? Because I'm not
probably
sure.
Probably just off of what he's charging Cam alone.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure Cam can pull it off. And trust me on this, if he can't, you can't, and I'm just talking to all of you.
Dance, puppets, dance.
Except for DK Metcalf.
Yeah, we agree. Yeah.
Don Libertard.
I'm not in this for smart people, Dan. I'm in this for dumb people. That's who I represent.
Stugatz.
I'm not in it for you and Pablo and Mina Kimes and Dominique Foxworth. I am in this for
the
Lou,
fan, for
who
the fan.
Takes his shirt off
the
at Arrowhead Stadium and holds a D-dash fence,
yes!
Okay? That's who I am in this for.
Yes!
Not you. I'm in it for Lou, Section 114, Arrowhead Stadium, okay?
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. I will get to the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed once I have the tweet from Roy. Sorry, was the only way to do that.
I don't think that was the only way to do that. I think there were many, many other ways to have done that. You could have chosen to done it professionally. You could have chosen to not blame somebody. In fact, that's
$5. How is that $5?
That's $5. You blamed Roy for you being incompetent.
He just said this!
At the top of the segment, you're blaming him for stuff that is your fault.
Okay, in my defense, it was his fault, okay? But I'll pay the $5. I mean, okay, it's fair.
I mean, I feel like you're just getting your money's worth, or should I fine him again? Should it be a $10 fine?
Fine him again. I'll pay the fine. I'm not objecting to paying the fine. I'm just telling you it's his fault.
But I'm wondering now whether it's $15 or whether
$15
it's just $5 for the same thing.
$15 because Roy screwed up?
I think it's a full 20.
What?
I think it's $20 now for blaming Roy. You can't keep blaming
Roy.
Listen,
I have responsibilities. I have billboards. They're supposed to be sent to me. I couldn't read the billboard. Why? Because Roy didn't send it. How is that my fault?
That is $25.
My fault, but it's Roy's fault.
$30 in fines.
Oh, my God.
$30 in fines.
Listen, I'll meet you halfway. I apologize for saying that it's Roy's fault. 15? But it's his fault, just so we're clear. Back to 20?
$35. You owe $35.
I don't have $35.
Well, first of all, talk to me when you apologize.
I just saw $35.
Sorry.
I saw a 20.
What you saw is 40, and that's not 35. And I'm not giving you 40.
It's not 40. It's 36. Now it's $36.
Roy, I'm going to look you in the eye. I am sorry that you screwed up.
$40.
$41.
What?
$41 because he also, in the middle of that, claimed to not have money while having money. So he owes $41. That was one hell of a spree.
That, unbelievable.
We have not had a fighting spree like that in a long time. $41. Mike Ryan is laughing in your face because he knows that $41 is actually going to hurt you.
No, it does hurt. Deeply. Deeply. It's the $1 that really hurts. I mean, I have all I have is 20s here. I don't have many of them. I have two of them. And so, I mean, I would rather give you 60 than 41. So I'm going to give you 60.
The defensive coordinator.
I have the tweet now.
The defense. Go ahead and do the Dr. Pepper sponsored tweet.
We have news here from the Dan Le Batard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Mr. Boombastic at RP Speaks asks, why is being a chicken considered a bad thing? I mean, there are many other animals that are prey and run away in the face of danger. Why the chicken is getting singled out is beyond me. That is a terrible tweet. I am not blaming anyone but Roy.
Why is that a terrible tweet?
I don't like it.
Okay, very
good.
I'm
in a bad mood. I'm down 60 right now.
Greg Cody, how bad is this going to end up getting for Cam Newton in Boston, replacing Tom Brady? And having, you know, they're basically, we have not seen in 2 decades the Patriots look like they've looked in the last month. One of the things I do find interesting here, Stugatz, and I'm curious how we're going to end up doing all the math on this, right, whether it's going to require like the Buck season getting derailed by a virus at the end in an obvious way. But we're kind of not paying as much attention as we should to the fact that the Patriots had more of those COVID opt-outs than anybody. Like, their team has been wrecked by that even before they got COVID and their quarterback got COVID. Like, they had players right and left opting out and were just like, be the same team. Right. Without Brady, without Gronk, and without all the defensive player of the year, without all of them. Like, is that even fair, Cody, to do? Is that a fair thing to be doing to the Patriots?
Yeah, I think it is. The Patriots had the most opt-outs before the season by far.
You're listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody as well on ESPN Radio.